Welcome to Thrive. I'm Pastor Ed, looking to share with you a message today, hopefully that's going to bring you some hope and encouragement in the midst of all that we are doing and going through right now. After all, this is the new way of doing church right now, that you're gathered around watching a video, and I just want to take these few moments to encourage you and help you in the midst of what's going on. To do that, I'd like to start a new series over the next couple weeks here with you called I'm Scared, because I think that's where we all are. I think that's what we're all struggling with, where we're all battling right now, is this whole idea that we're scared and fear is just ramped up and we might not be sure how we want to handle it or how to handle it and how to deal with what's happening and what's going on. Do you remember as a kid, your parents asking you if you were scared? Maybe they caught the hint because you ran into their bedroom in the middle of the night because there was a storm or you had a bad dream and they wanted to know, are you scared? But do you remember the time you lied about being scared? Because whatever, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl, I'm not gonna be scared anymore. And so you were asked, are you scared? And you're like, no, I am not scared. But in reality, you probably were scared. Well, these are scary times. I hope you recognize that. I began to look, and do you realize that three big fears have all converged onto the same event? There's the fear of dying, there's the fear of being alone, and there's the fear of the unknown. Those three fears have come into the same event. So of course we're scared. Of course we are afraid. But the question is, are we going to admit? Are we going to just say it? Yeah, I'm scared. Are we going to confess that so that we can ask our Heavenly Father to help us work through and move through these times of being scared? So I'm going to go first. When I look at those three things, and as I begin to research them and look at them, you know which one resonated to me? The fear of the unknown. I don't know about you, but my schedule has just changed incredibly. Everything has changed. We're trying to do an online presence that we've never done before and to try to learn all this in a few days. And it's crazy. I mean, this has all been, if you think about it, just a little over a couple weeks that things have ramped up and that things have shut down. We know our kids have an extended spring break, routines are gone, and what's going to happen next? I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. This fear of the unknown. And then if I'm not careful, right, I let the enemy tell me, well, you're shutting down the doors. What if they never open? Okay, just to give you a little clue what rattles around in my head. This fear of the unknown has been so present. Maybe that's true for you. Maybe it's one of the other ones we talked about. But I want you to think about, of those three big fears, which one would you say right now is your biggest struggle? It's okay. You can confess that. Your Heavenly Father already knows what that is. But if we refuse to admit it, it's hard to move past it so we can recognize that Jesus has some hope for us in the midst of those fears. And that's what I would really like to share with you this morning. I want to take those three big fears, and I just want to talk to you about the hope that we have in Jesus in the midst of those three fears. We have hope. You have hope. And maybe Jesus is something that you pushed away years ago. And today would be a day you would reconsider following him again. Maybe you've never followed him. And you didn't grow up that way. And you weren't in that type of a home. And you've never followed Jesus. And you maybe never considered it. But in light of everything that's going on, you might be more open to what Jesus has to say. And to following him. So let's take those three big fears. Let's start with the fear of dying. Let's start with that. There have been some unbelievable estimates that have been made throughout all of this. And let's just be honest, when you start talking big numbers of people dying, it is a very, very scary thing. But here's what I love with Scripture, that God gives us a picture of what things were like at the beginning. The book's called Genesis, and I'd urge you, if you've never read the first three chapters, it just helps us understand the world in which we live. So God creates everything. It says he plants a garden east in a place called Eden, and in that garden, he puts two trees. We mainly, if you grew up in church, if you've read the Bible much, we mainly focus on the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because that's the tree they weren't supposed to eat. They did eat, and it changed everything. The tree of life was also in the middle of that garden. It's that tree they were supposed to eat, and they were supposed to enjoy, because their life was supposed to be eternal. And God told them what? If you eat that, you will die. And when they ate it, they brought death upon everyone. And yet, God created us to be eternal. And so what does Jesus come and do? Jesus comes and offers us life. He does what they've never seen anybody do before or since. His followers watched him die. Joseph and Nicodemus laid him in a tomb. And 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and he walked out. He conquered sin and the grave and death, so that you and I, we don't have to fear. And we can put our hope and our trust in Jesus, because we know that this life ends. We know that's true. The death rate for every single generation is 100%. Some of us get longer than others, but we know that to be true. We only have a certain amount of days, and yet Jesus invites us to eternal life in him. See, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That was the incredible message he told to Nicodemus, who would later watch as he was laid in that tomb and then see him again alive. How incredible that must have been. If you ever wonder why the early church and the disciples were able to stand up in the midst of incredible odds, and in the midst of, if you don't say Caesar is God, if you don't reject Jesus, we'll kill you. And Peter said, bring it on. Why? My rabbi walked out of the grave. I do not fear death. I have eternal life in him. And so if that's you, and all the talk that's been going on about death has really scared you, Jesus wants to give you life and hope in him. You don't have to be afraid anymore. There is life in Jesus. Number two, that fear of being alone. That same passage that tells us the beginnings and what Adam and Eve were supposed to do and not do tells us how God wired us and created us. Adam was given the assignment to name the animals. And when he was done, it says there was no helper for him. And God made this statement, it is not good for man to be alone. So he creates Eve and he gives them community together. Right? Because that's the way we were created. And so think about it. We were created for that, but right now we have to social distance, and if we're not careful, isolate, and all of a sudden there's that fear of being alone. And yet, I think it's amazing it's happened in this time, in this place, when we have so much technology available to us. You don't have to be alone, and you don't have to be isolated. We can reach out to people like never before, because of all the technology we have available to us. And let me tell you, there are people all around you who need you to reach out to them. But if that's you, and you have this incredible fear, I don't want to be all by myself, Jesus gave this promise. It was repeated in the book of Hebrews. It's all the way back to Joshua. Never will I leave you or forsake you. That's what Jesus promises. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. I will always be there. You are never alone. You are never all by yourself. In fact, when David began to look at how God worked in his life as a shepherd, and he wrote the incredible 23rd Psalm, one of the things he wrote was that in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear because you are with me. You are close to me. And the reason that David would say you are close to me is because what happens in dark moments, in difficult moments, when you're dealing with sheep, you need to get close because they need to hear your voice. So the shepherd gets in the middle of the flock so they can hear his voice. I can imagine there are lots of voices you're hearing. Lots of cable news voices, lots of voices on Twitter, social media. Perhaps you've heard too many of those voices. And it's time to open up God's word. And Jesus just wants to speak some life into you. He wants you to know you are not alone. You are not all by yourself. You are not. David in another Psalm, Psalm 139 said what? It doesn't matter where I go. You are there with me. And I want you to know Jesus wants to be there with you if you would invite him into your life. So what about number three? The one I said, my problem. This fear of the unknown. Because everything has changed. Everything is just different. It's all different now. And what do you do in the midst of this difference? Well, that's where I've been trying just to wrestle with and figure out from Scripture. What do you do when everything's been disruptive? Let me tell you, there's some people in some really tough situations because things have been so disrupted in their life. And most of us, if we're honest, we love our routines. And we find a lot of security and a lot of comfort in our routines. And when those routines get thrown out and when those routines get totally messed up, it can cause a lot of angst in our life. It can cause a lot of fear in our life. But some of you have dealt with things far worse than me. Some of you are dealing with jobs that have been cut, sometimes eliminated, and you're going, will it ever come back? You're dealing with school schedules in which kids are done. We're dealing with what? Seniors who all of a sudden commencement's canceled for college seniors. They work so hard and it's all changed. Look at our high school seniors. We're not sure things are going to have. People are out of sports, out of speech. All sorts of things have just gotten changed. And that routine has been totally changed. But what if God could speak into our lives in the midst of this? What if the routine's been the problem? And we've pushed God to the edge. We've pushed him and said, yeah, I'll show up when I can. I'll open your word when I can. I'll pray when I can. And this has given us a time to reevaluate how we live our lives and what we're doing. What if God could use that time for this? Because in that same passage, where we've had everything that we've talked about, do you know what God did the seventh day? He rested. Some of us are getting a self-imposed rest because we're so bad at it. And God has a way of slowing us down and getting us to reprioritize and getting us to think differently. So how have I handled this fear? There's a passage in Colossians. Now, Paul wrote to this town called Colossae. And according to kind of all the dates we figured out, probably somewhere after Paul wrote to them, their town was destroyed by an earthquake. I mean, can you imagine that? There is no going back home. There's no going back to your routine. You pack up and you move to somewhere else if you have anything to move at all because the place was leveled by an earthquake. And I imagine those group of Jesus followers said, "What's going on?" But to them, before this ever happened, Paul says the following. Everything was created through him and for him, meaning Jesus. He existed before anything else. And then I love this next phrase. He holds all creation together. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. He holds everything together. So that's not my job, to hold everything together and to have my routine, have my schedule, and have it all figured out. That's not my job. And I've been doing stuff that has not recognized that Jesus holds everything together. So sometimes everything needs to fall apart so that we remember, oh, Jesus is holding it all together. And I'm just going to tell you, that's where I went. Because we're not the only ones to have, in all of history, had everything disrupted. It's been disrupted very differently than we've ever experienced. But it's happened before. And you know, Jesus wasn't surprised by this. This did not take him by surprise. In fact, we're told that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. We're told that so that we know God's not surprised. He doesn't change. And where he worked and stepped in and helped people before, he is still doing that now and today. So can I ask you a question again? Are you scared? Are you afraid? Which one of those big three are you wrestling with? And maybe it's not any of those. It's some other things that have all just kind of compounded. I would like to invite you to follow Jesus. If you've never followed him before, what a great time to give your life to Christ. Someone who is life and hope, and he never changes and he never leaves. What a better time to commit our life to Christ. What a better time to, if we've just kind of gone our own way and done our own thing, what a better time to come back and recommit ourselves to following Jesus and putting our hope and our trust in him. There's no better time. There's no better time than using this to reevaluate and say, where am I at and what am I doing? And perhaps this has just shown you things that are just not right. And you can confess those to your Heavenly Father, and you can start moving in a different direction. So I want to pray for you this morning. I just want to pray that God helps us in the midst of this situation. I think this is unprecedented, and we can reach out as never before. I also think this is a great time for Jesus to remind us of all the times we've pushed him away, of all the times we've done stuff on our own, and for the ways that our lives are crazy because we haven't been doing things his way. So let's recommit ourselves to the Lord. If you've never decided to follow Jesus, we would love to invite you this morning just to invite him into your life, ask him to forgive you your sins, trust that he rose again, conquering sin, death, hell, and the grave, and we have forgiveness in him and eternal life in him. Wherever you're at, let's just take a moment and ask God to work in our lives and help us to once again start following him and to trust him with our fears. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us? These are scary times. And if we'd be honest, they've revealed some places in our life where we've not followed you. We got off track. And this is a great time to recommit ourselves to you. And we want to do that today. I ask for those who have never made a decision to follow you, that today they would consider that for the first time. You have the answers. You are the hope. And we want to put our trust and our faith in you. Remind us, Jesus, of the people around us, that we can help and serve and love and encourage. Let's do that this week. Let's do it today. Let's do it today. And let's see what you might do in us and through us during this time, this unprecedented time. We don't have to fear. We can put our hope and our trust in you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we're going to be in part two. We're going to continue to talk about the things that we're scared about, the things that we're fearful about. And you can come in and you can join us online and you can watch the video and be a part of Thrive.